how many of you are trusting God tonight? Amen. If you're here tonight and you have pain in your body, would you raise your hand? Just raise your hand right where you are. I want to know we're going to pray for you. Pray for you that are watching right now. Actually, I'm not even going to pray for you. The Bible says that we sang about it earlier, about the name of Jesus. That name's above every name. And whatever you're dealing with probably has a name. We don't need to even know that name. All we need to know that the name of Jesus is more than enough. Amen? So I'm just going to speak the name of Jesus. When I declare the name of Jesus, that's when you receive your healing. So raise your hand right where you are right now. Those of you that are watching, raise your hand if you need something in your body right now. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Take authority over every sickness and every disease. And we just say, Jesus. 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 Now just lift both your hands and say, Jesus, you're my healer. The healing power of God's working in this place right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. I was going to read this actually Tuesday at our student revival, but I went to it tonight and thought, no, I'm going to save that, but I'm going to read it right now. One of our graduates, Christopher Alam, who travels all over the world, has crusades. He posted this here recently, and I'd heard him mention this before about when he was in Malawi, what something that happened, fantastic. He said, on the last night, there was a man at the back of the crowd who was born crippled. He used to crawl on the ground on his elbows and his knees. He was a beggar and had never walked his entire life. As I preached the gospel and afterward prayed a mass prayer for the sick, and he didn't lay hands on anybody, just like we didn't tonight, the power of God hit this man and he got up and began to run. The crowd went crazy, and the man ran straight out of the football stadium with thousands of people running after him and shouting. The word of this miracle and the other miracles that the Lord had done during that week of the lame walking, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing spread like wildfire. Our crusade ended that night, and I left town the next morning. But the next evening, thousands of people showed up at the crusade ground, and amazing miracles happened. I was not there. There was no service, but people streamed to the stadium from far away. I was told that as people would set foot on the football ground, they would be healed. Crippled people were getting up and walking. Blind eyes were seeing, and amazing miracles took place the whole week. For 7 days after the crusade was over, people came from places far away carrying the sick and the infirm. And the Lord responded to their faith and healed people in large numbers. How can this be? I believe that this is what Christopher said. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, when preached under the power of the Holy Ghost, is the most powerful thing in this universe. It is so powerful that it even has the power to permeate and saturate the soil on which it is preached. So powerful that long after the preacher's gone, God can still do his miracles on that soil as long as people come there full of faith and with expectant hearts. That's why, my friends, the preaching of the gospel is so important. Do not water down the full gospel. Do not preach a watered-down gospel diluted by seeker-friendly preachers or by theologians who say they are Pentecostal but don't believe in the full power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus Christ has borne upon his own self all the sins and all the diseases of mankind, and that he was destroyed, and he has destroyed all the works of Satan. He has given us the commission to go into the world and preach this victorious, triumphant gospel of the cross and of the blood of Jesus. Amen. There's a little bit more to it, but I'll save that for Tuesday, because I want to talk to the students about something. Those services, by the way, are being live streamed, and so Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 10:30. If you want to watch those, you can. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I want us to go to Romans chapter 6 tonight. Romans chapter 6. You know, if we could live in Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we'd have a pretty good life. Amen. Not only does it, as Pastor said this morning, knowing who we are in Christ, who we are in Him, and letting that be the reality that we live by, living according to that. Now, I know, you know, some folks, there's two sides to this, and I understand that fully, but you don't compromise either side by preaching either side. You have to know who you are in Christ. And until you begin identifying with who you are in Him and declaring, as Pastor said this morning, as the Word says, and as this ministry has preached boldly for years, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Why do we preach it? Because Paul preached it and he got it from the Holy Ghost. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Do I feel righteous? Not all the time. How many of you feel righteous all the time? No. But we're not moved by what we feel, are we? We only move by what the Word of God has to say. And so we start declaring things about ourselves. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Does it look like it? Maybe not. Do I feel like it? Maybe not, but that doesn't matter. I am what the Bible says I am. And so we understand the positional aspect of knowing who we are. All right? And so there's that positional, and that's when we talk about in Him realities, we're talking about that positional aspect. But you don't stop with just the positional. There's the appropriation of who you are. Living as a new creature in Christ. Living as the righteousness of God in Christ. Living as if you're dead to sin and alive unto God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. More on the appropriation side. And really, to be honest with you, the biggest part of it starts with how we think about ourselves. Amen. The guy that made announcements up here has an excellent book called Moving On Up. You ought to get it. It's out in the bookstore. About your thinking. Based on 3 John 2 there. Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Soul is made up of your mind. That's the first. But then your will, your decision makers there. And then your emotions. How many of you know you got emotions? Nobody in here is emotionless. We just got to find the right button. Okay? You may be the calmest person in the world, but if we find the right button, we'll find some emotion somewhere. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean an outburst of anger. It could be, you know, you're sitting there all of a sudden, and you just, you know, how many of you, you big tough guys, let's be honest. All right? We'll talk about tough women later, but tough guys. No, we're not going to talk about tough women because no preacher in his right mind talks about women. Except how great his wife is. That's the only thing I'm going to talk about. Amen. But you're sitting there, you know, and you've gone and you thought you were at some, you know, just some movie. I remember the first time I ever saw I like Star Trek and those type of things, you know, it's just kind of out there. And, they get a little preachy in some of their philosophies of life and all this, the way they think it's going to be. But I remember when in Wrath of Khan, when Spock died. I'm sitting there watching the stupid movie. I had not seen it. I didn't go to the movie theater. I had it. I bought the VHS, whatever, at that time. This was years ago. I'm sitting there watching the movie, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there. I'm crying. Spock has given his life. He sacrificed his life because of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few and the one. I mean, and then he dies. And I'm sitting there like a, you know. Yeah, I already graduated from Raymond by that time. I'm married. I'm crying about Spock dying. Man looked and said, "What are you?" I said, "Shut up." We got emotions, glory to God. And they need to be renewed. Let's read Romans 6:1. I want to read down to where I want to get to. What shall we say then? This is the King James, and I might take some these and thous out. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. In other words, say no. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, sin here, talking about the sin nature, not necessarily the act of sin, but sin nature itself. And because of sin, think of this. Because of sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, and separation from God is all part of that. We are dead to sin. Now, one of the things that help us understand as you read this, you know, the Bible talks about different types of death. And the word death is used differently. We know there's the ceasing of the function of this physical body is called death. All right? And then there is death that is separation from God, which we call spiritual death. But then also, the Bible also talks about a second death, which is eternal separation from God, which is to spend eternity in hell separated from God. But then also death is used to mean just separation from, to to be separated from. And so he said, know ye not then, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. How many of you know that Jesus came, born miracle birth, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death? He actually did. Son of God, Son of Man, died a physical death. Wasn't some spirit that went away or something. He was physical, born, right? To deny that's the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus came in the flesh, and he died a physical death on our behalf. He died for us, all right, besides some other things, but we'll leave that there. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe also we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. And so in verses 1 through 10, he talks to us really there. He's talking about positionally. Positionally, we are dead. And the verbs there are more along that line. But then he makes a switch here and starts talking about actually making that real in your life. In other words, yes, it's great to be positionally, and it's great to be positionally in Christ. There's a lot of folks that that's as far as they'll ever go. All right? But I don't know much. I don't want to barely get there. Any of you like to be, you know, now if it's a marathon and I barely get there, that's all right now, you know? Okay? And how many of you know if I was to run a marathon, I would just barely get there? I mean, right now. Now, you look at me now and you don't know, I used to be a distance runner. Yeah. I could run distance. I could run all day long and would run and do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it was, yeah. Pastor Hagin said, those days have come and gone. Well, really, they're probably still there. I just have to, a lot more work. Somebody asked me, what's your advice? I said, don't ever get out of shape. If you just stay in shape, just stay that way, you don't ever have to try to get back into shape. Right? So what does that have to do with your sermon? Absolutely nothing. Just throw that in there, some personal advice. All right. Glory to God. Amen. All right. And so he says here, likewise. This word likewise, you know, is a word that kind of brings us into this idea that we are now supposed to do something. Likewise. It's a word that brings us to a place of, okay, because of this, we need to make a change. And he says, reckon. And I guess if I had a title for tonight's sermon, it's I Reckon. Now, I don't know where you're from, but any of you from a part of the United States where they say reckon? I reckon. Yeah, I reckon. I reckon. You know, I reckon so or something like that. But the word reckon is actually, it can be used as a mathematical term. If you do a problem, solve a mathematical problem, get an answer, get the correct answer, it could be said you reckoned that problem or whatever it is, and got the answer. To reckon, it means to consider, to compute. All right? He says, I want you to consider. In fact, the New Living says, likewise, consider, reckon, compute. In other words, once you've reckoned it, the problem solved, it's done. Count it as done. Look at this now. You also yourselves to be. See, he who has died is dead to sin. So you reckon it, you count it, us Christians, us folks in him, anybody in Christ, let's count it as done, let's reckon it, let's do all the equation and find the final answer that we are indeed dead to sin. Okay? Reckon yourselves likewise to be dead to sin. Not just positionally, but living in the reality of deadness to sin, separated from it. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, you realize we live in a time where we are in the convergence of two worlds here. All right, we've got this, but we still have Adam, but then we have Christ. And at one point, Adam At Resurrection Day, he's going to be done away with forever. Right? But we're still dealing with Adam. Now again, like I mentioned the emotions, we all got flesh, don't we? Any of your flesh told you you were hungry today? Said, feed me. How many of you, your flesh tells you every day, coffee? Any of you folks? Yeah, okay. Something, right? Water, whatever. But it tells, our flesh talks to us. Well, another aspect of our flesh is there is a fleshly nature that because we still have this flesh, we still have to deal with. The carnal nature. The flesh. He talks about it more in Romans chapter 8. We still have to deal with it. But we are to reckon that flesh dead, to be dead to sin. Everything to do with sin, to be dead. And something that's dead no longer has rights. Did you realize that? I know some people, I don't know how they do it, that are dead vote every year. But I don't know how that happens. But that's another story for another time. Right? But dead people have no rights. And so if I'm dead to sin, that part, sin has no more right in me. And in order for sin and anything that had to do with sin, remember we mentioned it, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. Anything that's sin is that which is displeasing to God. Any of that, if it's going to be in my life, I have to give it rights. I'm not reckoning it as dead. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. Now, it's just not that that's dead that we reckon, that we count, that we do the computation and get the right answer. But also, he says in verse 11, alive unto God. Through Jesus Christ. It's not that we are in some type of spiritual void here. It's not that, well, I'm not dead, but what? No, I've passed from death unto life. Now, we know that's taken place in our spirit, but we are to be walking in life now. But we have to appropriate that life, and it starts with the reckoning. It starts with making that decision. I was looking at this let's see if I can find this, from Wiest translation, what he said. Let me see here. He says the word reckon, this isn't from Wiest, this is from Expositor's Bible Commentary. The word reckon implies also that there be an application in your conscience, in your affections, and in your will. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So such as now developed by the argument. He says, the apostle reckoned this wonderful reckoning, counting upon the bright mysteries that it is an imperishable fact. In other words, it's not some spiritual or some way out there theory or philosophy. It is a fact that I am dead and you are dead to sin. But not just dead to sin, because some people, you know, bless their hearts, we talk about, you know, well, crucify your flesh, and we live in so much death that we forget to live. You know what I'm saying? You can get so much, and you get caught up in, and if you're not careful, you get caught up in all the rules and regulation. We're talking about living in Christ, and when you live in Christ, you take the rules, regulations take care of themselves. But Paul, you know, Paul talked about as much about our position in Christ as he did how to apply it. That's why I love the book of Ephesians. I've been able to teach that book so many years now, since 2002 here at Rhema, and taught it years before that. But it's divided so greatly into two main sections there, chapters 1, 2, and 3. The realities of who we are in Christ and what we have because of Him. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, now what? You know, what do we do now? Or the reckoning. So, you are all this, now what are you going to do about it? Okay? And so this application. I want us to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to stay in the King James Bible here. They asked me what scriptures I had. I said, I maybe Romans 6, 1 through whatever. And that wasn't exactly sure, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you that raise your hands, that healing power is still working in you. It's still at work in you. It's still at work in you. Don't forget it. It's still at work in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Because why? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That name is living. It is alive. It never shuts off. Hallelujah. I know it was interesting. One year I went to East Africa, and I noticed that in every service, we get up and someone from there would open up the service in prayer. I mean, every morning of the first service, someone would get up and say, you know, they'd pray and they'd say, Satan, we bind you, and Holy Ghost, we loose you to do what you want. And so, you know, after I led them for a couple days, and I've been going there for quite some time, so they knew me. And this was a group of ministers. It wasn't necessarily a whole lot, but this was just kind of a pastors and ministers meeting. And so I got up and I said that there in the afternoon of which had been the third day, and they've been doing that every morning. And I said, I want to know which committee, because they like to have committees, who's in charge of the committee that stays here after we're done every night and locks up the Holy Ghost and looses the devil? Because every morning we're binding the devil and loosing the Holy Ghost. Who stayed here last night and bound up the Holy Ghost and untied the devil? Amen. No, Jesus is loosed. And the Holy Spirit is welcome. See, we need to live in the reality of that. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Holy Spirit. You're loosed in me. You will never, ever be interrupting me, Holy Spirit. Forgive me if I interrupt you. Holy Spirit, whenever you have absolute freedom. Yes. Yes. Amen. You see, living in that reality. Now, Colossians 3, verse 1. Notice how this flows together with this. If you then be risen with Christ, that means alive, right? How many of you know to rise, you had to be dead? If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, actually, it means your mind there. I've got a note in my Bible. Set your mind or your thinking on things above, not on things on earth. One way, see, here's what I think. One of the ways that we're going to live free from sin is to not be earthly minded, but to be heavenly minded. Or we could say it this way. Paul said another way, I believe, be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. The more I allow my thinking to be governed by things that are happening on this earth, the less I'm going to live in the life of God. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, I'll just testify for me. You know, sometimes, I'm doing it right now, I've just got to shut off social media. I don't watch any news on television. I watch the weather, but even that, you know, sometimes that's just to know what to pray about, you know, here in Oklahoma. You know, sometimes it's not that great to be we live right behind a elementary school. Right behind it. And so the sirens are right there for the weather sirens. So we hear them very well. And like, I guess I've become an Okie, because every time the siren goes off, what do? Run out the front door. And there's my neighbors. Hey, good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while. Happens every time. Set your mind on things above. I cannot get caught up and let the earthly things dominate me if I'm going to live this way. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, now notice that, with Christ in God. See, that's the covenant there. The covenant is Christ is in God and we're in Christ. And that puts us with God. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, he goes through these things here, all right? We don't necessarily need to list those off. But put to death those things. In other words, don't let those things live in you. Don't let fornication, pornography, uncleanness, which in Paul's writings always has to deal with homosexuality, lesbianism. In Paul's writings, when he says unclean, go back to Romans, you can trace it through his writings. Inordinate affection. I guess I said I wasn't going to read them, but I am. Evil concupiscence. What does that mean? I have no idea. Covetousness. I know what that means. Covetousness is wrong. We're supposed to have desires. We're supposed to covet the gifts of God. But this is desire for the wrong things. You know, if you're dead, you don't want the wrong things. If you're alive to Christ, you're pursuing the right things. Because that is idolatry. Amen. Now go to Galatians 2. You know, Pastor quoted this morning from Ephesians 2 about us being risen with Christ, and we need to know that. But we're talking about, how do I think? Well, first thing is I've got to renew my mind and start and do the equation. And so if I am dead to these things, so whenever the opportunity comes up, all right, you husbands, let me talk to how many husbands you got. Let me see you husbands, all right? Raise your hand like you're proud to be a husband. Come on now, don't we? No, I as a husband. So here it is, guys. To every other woman in the world, I'm dead to them. And they're dead to me. Now, you got to be some type of demonic to be married to a dead person. I mean, physically dead. I mean, that's right. I know I say that because there's people that, oh, whatever, you know. But when I talk, but you understand what I'm saying? I'm dead to them. So, that does, see, I have to reckon that. I have to take that into account. I got to do the equation. Say no. See, we're talking about how to appropriate these things. And listen, you folks that are thinking about getting married, if you're to that step and you're thinking, you've said, well, yeah, we're going to get married. If you're not dead to every other guys, to every other girl that's out there, ladies, to every other man, that's, if you're not dead to them and they're not dead to you, you're not ready to get married. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean you don't notice other people are alive. But you have to admit, you have to do the account. You have to do the accounting. Say no. Amen. So anything else that we can consider, that's just one example. Anything else? Lying. First thing Paul said in Ephesians 4 to these spirit-filled Christians was, stop lying. Tongue-talking Christians, quit lying. Amen. I've got to do the accounting. I've got to reckon it out. Excuse me. And say, no, I'm dead to lies. I cannot lie. Amen. So it starts with our thinking. We have to think the right thoughts. Philippians 4, you know, talks about thinking on the right things. It's not pure. If it's not, you know, if it's not peaceful, it's not the right thing. And you know, I said Galatians 2:20. Let's read this. I'm going to read it, and then we'll go one more place, and we'll close up. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How can you be crucified but then live? Because Christ was raised. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I didn't say this is going to be easy. You're going to have to do it by faith. Amen. You're going to have to tell yourself you're dead to every other person when you're married. Right? You got to call things to be not as though they were. Amen. And I'm not just talking about hanging on till you're so old you don't care anymore. I'm talking about right now, where you are. I'm dead. If you've decided to be single, and that's the way you feel like God's got for you in your life, you're dead. Amen. If you're not married, you're dead to that part of relationship between a man and a woman. If you are married, be alive. Some of you get that later. James chapter 3. Let me end with this. James chapter 3. And I'm going to move right along here. Some of you are going to get that in a minute. I can just hear some of you guys. I'm going to tell her, Martha, on the way. Martha, that preacher said, we're supposed to be alive. James chapter 3, I want to read this verse 13, start here. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good way you live, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Now, there's so much I could say there, but I'm not. I want to get to this bottom part just today. But the wisdom that is from above, wisdom that is from above, wisdom that is from above, not wisdom that's earthly, sensual, devil, not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom of anything other than the wisdom that's from above, which is contained in the Word of God, but then also comes by the leading of the Spirit of God. This wisdom is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. See, this is the wisdom that it takes to live and to appropriate what we're talking about. Now, where does this wisdom come first of all? Well, you go back to the book of Proverbs, you find out this wisdom comes from God's word. Get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. It talks about wisdom, that in wisdom, in her left hand is riches, in her right hand, you know, blessings and life. Wisdom that comes from God. Well, it comes first from the Word of God. That's why you hear people say, what does the Word say about it? What does the Word say about this situation? And quite honestly, if I'm not saying what the Word says about this situation, I probably ought not say anything. Amen. Have you ever gotten in trouble for saying what you think about something? Oh boy. You find out how much you don't have that wisdom sometimes. And if you listen to people talk long enough, that's why the Bible says in a multitude of words, there doesn't lack sin. Yeah, you keep talking, you'll finally get over there. Because you'll out-talk your wisdom that's from above. And so, you know, we got a lot of things going on in the world today. A lot of things. How many of you know there's a lot of things going on? Yeah. You know what's going on right now? I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. We're getting ready. Yeah. Things are lining up for a great, great, great move of God. Things are lining up. Hallelujah. People are getting fed up and they want answers. And there is no other answer but this. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you believe on Him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. See, that's what's going on. But we're bombarded by everything that's going on besides that. That's not from above. And so if we're not careful, if we get caught up in those things and we spend our time on what's earthly, what's sensual, what's devilish, we don't operate in the wisdom that's from above. Amen. I mean, there's some things that he talks about bitter envy. God started dealing with me. I thought it was something I was going to be teaching sometime, putting together. I was getting ready to put together this great big series. I was going to teach, you know, studying this all out. I mean, I had all my books out. I had two computer screens full of stuff. I'm up there in my office at home. Oh, man, this is so vile. And the Lord said, that's for you. He said, because you're becoming bitter if you don't watch it. Because bitter, the word bitter means acrid. It means acidity. And it's something, if any of you ever had acid reflux, you don't ever want that. This stuff eats you up from the inside. And that's what bitterness does. It's going to eat you alive from the inside out. And you are dying and you don't even know it. If you give into that stuff. And so the Lord told me, He said, you're dying and you don't even know it. Check yourself. And so I just stopped on that end, and I grabbed a hold. You know, every once in a while you gotta have that talk. Hey, you grab a hold of yourself by the ear and say, have that discussion with me, myself, and I. Okay? And talk to ourselves. Praise the Lord. But we should reckon. I reckon. What do you reckon? I reckon that I'm dead with Christ. And I reckon that I'm alive with Him. And he goes on to chapter 6 there and says, therefore, don't yield your members to what you're dead to. Yield your members to what you're alive to. Amen? That's a whole nother sermon, but that's what we're talking about. But start with your thinking. Do the accounting. When sickness tries to come against you, do the accounting. Wait a minute. Now, what's the word say about this? Let me do this accounting. Let me figure this out. All right, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. That's I'm dead to sin. Sin, sickness is because of sin. Therefore, I must be free from this. Nope, no, no, no. I'm not accepting this today. Thank you. See, do the reckoning. Do the reckoning. Do the thinking. And you'll live in the life of God. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, we thank you for who we are in Christ. It's so vital. Vital what for us to know what Jesus has done in the place that you've placed us in him. We give you praise, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor. And Father, we thank you for who we are. But Father, thank you as we appropriate these things in these days, hallelujah, that we are sanctified, yet we are to be sanctified. That we are righteous, yet we are to be righteous or live righteous. We are loved, but we are to love. And so many more things. We are becoming what we have become. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you honor and glory. Now, real quick before we go, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here tonight without that. If you're watching this, you might be watching, listening to this, whatever the case might be. We want to pray a prayer. The Bible says that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved. Well, we talked in the sermon about the fact that Jesus is alive. And all you have to do is make a decision of your will to make him the Lord of your life. And when you make that decision, say it out of your mouth. So this prayer that we're going to pray will lead us. And I'm going to ask all this congregation, even if you are born again, I'm asking you to say this prayer with me to help those. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I come to you to confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. And I thank you, Lord, that I will live my life in union with you for all my days on this earth and then for eternity. You and I, Lord, are inseparable. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, let's all stand up on our feet. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, if you're out there, or if you're here, get a hold of us, partnerservice@rhema.org. Email us. Let us know what happened. If you're here in the service, you can tell one of our great ushers here in these red shirts. Let them know, hey, I prayed that prayer tonight. We just want you, it's good to testify. It's good to testify what God's done in your life. Pastor Marvin, we good? See everybody on Wednesday night. Hour of power, 7 o'clock. Be here. God bless you. Amen. Give everybody, wave everybody, give them a big high five, in the air high five. You can be dismissed. Bless you.